Genesis chapter 1. We'll cover chapters 1 and 2. And you know, it's kind of one of those chapters in the Bible where people say, well, I already know this. And we think, as a pastor, I think, well, how can I ever preach Genesis 1? Everybody already knows it. But at some point, we've got to preach the whole counsel. And that means even Genesis 1, even though you learned it in Sunday school when you were 7. I want to start by saying that we don't know what else exists beyond our world. We don't know. This is our story. This is what God wants us to know about this creation. And that does not exclude anything else He may be doing. But I could tell you this, there's not a thing that's been discovered by science that wasn't already addressed here. And so God has covered it in His Word. But this is the record for us. In Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. How many of you in your Bible it has an S on the end of heaven? Anybody raise your hand. You got a heavens and the earth? And the Hebrew word for that is shemayim, which is a plural word. So heaven or heavens, either one, it's not incorrect. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. The evening and the morning were the first day, and God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And what we'll do is we won't read the whole thing, we'll just pick it up as we go. But in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That is the introduction. So everything He's going to say, there are some who believe that it was a total statement. That there was nothing else that followed. That the rest of the chapter is not a description, which I believe it is a description. But some believe that Genesis 1:1 stood alone, and there was a creation, and then something happened, and then Genesis 2 was a new creation. I don't hold that theory. I don't hold to that. But if you've ever heard of something called a gap theory, that's where the gap is between verse 1 and verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. I look at this and I imagine, you know, I mean, we know what heaven is like, at least by the descriptions we have in the Scripture. And so God created a heaven and earth that was it. It was raw material. And that raw material, then, we begin to see what happened. The Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. He was admiring and examining this raw material, which He was about to turn into a beautiful creation. But that's all that was there, was this raw material to mold and develop. And one thing I've got to note here, it says that the Spirit of God appreciated the rawness of it. You know, as He looked at it, this was something that was fantastic. It was just the beginning, but it was the beginning of something great. And I think about that, and just as we're going to describe and unlock all of the description that follows here, that's the same thing God did with us. And you look at a baby when that baby is conceived, and it's raw material, isn't it? But then as you see and you watch the development of that baby, or whatever kind of embryo it is, it doesn't matter if it's a human or... have y'all seen that video of the chicken they hatched outside the egg? Did y'all see that? They've actually, in Japan, the scientists took an egg and they put it in a cup and they hatched that egg outside of the egg. They hatched a chicken. And so you were able to watch the development of that chicken all the way through those 3 weeks of development. And we don't do that with humans, but we do have cameras that they've sent in there, and you can actually see a baby as it's developing in the womb. We also see the stages of life. Anyway, it begins as raw material and then begins to develop. And that's what we have here with the earth. The Spirit of God examined and appreciated the rawness of it. In verse number 3, He said, "Let there be light." Anything missing? How do we get light now? The sun, right? We have the sun. But so far, I don't see a sun created. And He created the heavens and the earth, but He didn't make the sun yet. But God, being light, was able to cast light upon this creation. Though it says in verse number 2, there was darkness. And now God has imposed Himself and His light upon His creation. We go down to verse number 6. We've already read it, but understand that word firmament, what we're talking about here, is we have the earth. We still just have a raw material. And now, God said we're going to divide the waters and make a space, a firmament between them. Somebody actually called me this week and said, "How many heavens are there?" And I said, "Well, the Bible gives us three. Three heavens, and one heaven is that heaven where we breathe. It's the what the meteorologists or scientists call the troposphere. It's the air of the earth. And that's heaven. And then we have space, that second heaven. And then we have where God is, and that's third heaven. That's the heavens that the Bible speaks about." She said, "Well, the preacher over here where I am says there's four heavens." And I said, "Well, what's he talking about?" So we begin to talk, and I said, "Well, he's talking about after the old heaven and the old earth have passed away, there's a new heaven and a new earth, and that's the fourth heaven, is the replacement for the third heaven." So it's not really it's not there yet, in other words. And in other religions, you've heard the term seventh heaven. How many of you have heard that term? And seventh heaven represents the stages of ecstasy or stages of nirvana and peace and awareness. And so that's not biblical. The seventh heaven is not a biblical term. The Bible gives us three heavens. And so this firmament, we have the earth. Now we have air, space. And then we have more water. He divided the waters. So what we call now the atmosphere, where the ozone layer is, this protective layer that goes around the atmosphere of the earth, that was all water. Now we have clouds, right? But there aren't clouds everywhere. But at that time, it was completely insulated with water. And so there was a space, and then there was more water surrounding everything. That was different then than it is now. Let me just speak to this. Noah entered the ark up until the day that it started raining. In Noah's day, it had never rained because there was that insulation of water around the earth. But then God said, "Let the water fall from the heavens," and the windows of heaven opened, and all that water that was surrounding the earth was now pouring down upon the earth. Clouds. So now it cycles. It recycles. There's a cycle of rain and precipitation and evaporation and all that kind of stuff. But up until then, it had never happened that way. Noah got off the boat. What did he do? He planted a garden. What did he grow? He grew grapes. What did he drink? Why was there wine? We'd never had this experience of Noah before getting drunk. This was a man of prayer, a man of righteousness. The one man, God looked over all the earth. He said, "I got one I can count on." And then after he gets off the boat, he got drunk. Why? Because up until that time, grapes did not ferment. Up until that time, grape juice just continued to be grape juice. But now, with the difference of the heat, the difference of the atmosphere, now that juice that he used to make, now fermented, he got to drinking too much of it, and he got drunk. So we see a lot of differences in a few chapters, which is, you know, thousands of years. Maybe hundreds of years, but it's a great span of time. Now here, I would say at least 1,000 years, but here we have the creation, and he's divided it, and earth is secured and insulated in the troposphere with the water on the outside. Now we go down to verse number 9. God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together to the place, and let dry land appear." Okay, think about this. Have you ever taken the map and tried to put the continents together? There's the idea of Pangaea. In other words, at this point, there was one mass of land and water everywhere else around it. That's what's just been described to us. You see, all the stuff the scientists tell us, we already knew. It was already in here. And there's not anything they've discovered that's outside of this. In fact, when we begin to look at God's creation and the design, God had the answers a whole lot earlier than educators did. So He created land and sea, one mass of land surrounded by water. In chapter 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. If you will, look at chapter 2 and verse number 5. "Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, the Lord God had not caused it to rain. There was not a man to till the ground. There went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Now, I don't want to try to get bogged down here, but you understand what happens is there's moisture in the earth. The earth absorbs the heat of the sun, and then as the sun, we say goes down, we know that's not really what happens, but as sun sets, now the earth begins to cool. It begins to cool by releasing that heat. That heat releases moisture. And that's how we get fog, and that's how we get dew. And, you know, the temperature, the outside temperature is regulated. That's not the same thing, but it's very similar to what we're talking about here. It has changed in its process. But there was a mist that just came up and just watered the earth right out of the ground. Now, in order to do that, the ground would have had to be loose enough to do that, right? And you think about that as far as farming goes. If the ground was loose enough for the dew to come or the mist to come up from the ground and water the ground, then it wouldn't have been hard to plow, would it? It would have been hard to till. And it was just perfect. God made it all just perfect so it would just work and it would just replenish. All this stuff, by the way, you'll notice that He created these things separately, but they are designed to work together. You've got dirt, you've got earth, you've got water, you've got seed, you've got the plant, you've got the minerals. All of this stuff was created and designed separately to work in conjunction, to work together. That's God's plan. It should be no secret to us, it should be no surprise to us, that God made everything with order and design. He made it all to work His way with a system in place. Verse number 14 through 19. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." So now we're talking about what? We're talking about that second heaven. We're talking about space. Lights. One, He said, to divide the day from the night. So we've got the sun and we've got the moon. And for signs. And for signs. We've brought that up. We've mentioned the fact that God's message is in the stars, including Bethlehem and the star of Bethlehem, as we call it. The message was there for signs. How many of you ever used the stars as you were out on the water to navigate? Anybody? Nobody? Aren't you glad? You got GPS now. But you can imagine people using for signs, it says. So there are things, there are messages, there are signals, if you will, in the stars and for seasons and for days and for years. I've heard people say that, you know, God put the sun just exactly where it needed to be and the earth just exactly where it needed to be. If it had moved just a little bit further, we'd burn up or we'd be too cold. Now, there's some truth to that, but I want you to understand something. In July, the sun is 91 million miles away from us in July. In January, it's 94.5 million miles away. So there's 3.5 million miles difference. So when we say if it had been just another foot this way or another foot, it's a little exaggeration. So let's be careful about how we say. And that's one thing, you know, as I teach the Bible, whether it's on these issues that are so controversial with some people, or whether it be on doctrine, the one thing I want to do is make sure that what we say is accurate. I want to be biblically right, and I want to make sure that I'm right with what we know. If we say, well, that's what the Bible says. We've been told things all our lives that the Bible says that the Bible doesn't say. And that's why I want to be very careful to tell you what, or to reveal what it says and not exaggerate what it says. So the sun, with order, designed with order for seasons, phases, patterns, it's organized. In chapter, in verse number 20, I'm sorry I keep saying that, I don't know why. Verse number 20, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creature that has life, fowl that may fly upon the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So He created, and then in verse 21, great whales, every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. So where did life begin? According to the Bible, where is the first sign of life? In the water. Just like the evolutionists tell us, isn't it? It's almost like they read the Bible and got their script. But you understand that they get their findings, and it doesn't debate what God said. The only difference is that they think that life started there and then developed into winged and then legs. And they believe that it just developed that way through process. No, the next day God said, the same day God said, put them in the water, put them in the sky. The next day He said, put them on land. He made them. It wasn't over millions or thousands of years that He developed them or evolved them. He created this one this way. And don't you know, I know He's God, but it's just like, don't you know that God looked at what He made in there and He said, you know, let's step it up a little bit. And He made birds and He said, let's step it up a little bit. And He made walking, creeping things. And then He said, let's step it up a little bit. And He made men. And y'all know what He said then, don't you? Let's step it up a little bit. And He made woman. And that's what happened. But you understand, it was not evolution. It was design. It was creation. But it's interesting to me that it follows that order. Verse 26 through 28, and verse number 27, the Bible says, God created a man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. So He gave man authority and dominion. Chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Just like that. Went from never been to gonna be forever. Just like now. You didn't come from heaven in the sense that you were there and now you're here. We came from heaven in the sense that we came out of the imagination and the heart of God. But we did not exist before we were here. Now Jesus is different, isn't He? He existed, then He came to earth. But, you know, it's not like God looks around heaven and collects somebody and says, all right, now it's your turn to go. That's not how it works. Adam went from never been to going to always be, just like that, a living soul. In chapter 2 and verse 18... the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them to Adam to see what He would call them. Isn't that interesting? That God didn't say, Adam, this is a giraffe. He brought that old long-necked animal over there and said, Adam, what do you want to call this one? That's what He did. And Adam named every one of those different species of animals. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to the cattle and the fowl and the beasts of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Lord God causes deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her to the man. I won't tell any jokes. Now let me say this. Another one of those things that we've heard, I'll ask you if you've heard it, that women have more ribs than men. Because God took a rib out of Adam, and so men have less ribs. How many of you have heard that before? Not true. Just not true. Men and women have 12 sets. Some men or women have 11. Some have 13. But on average, normally, we have 12, 24. 12 on each side. See, that's one of those things that I heard all my life. I heard the preacher say that over and over again so much I would have believed it. But we have to check these things. Because one thing I don't want to happen is I don't want somebody to hear what we say and hear me say something that's scientifically untrue, medically disproven, and they'll say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I have more respect for you and more regard for God's Word than to take something out of context or just reverberate or regurgitate what somebody taught me, and that's about what it is, isn't it? In chapter 2 and verse 8, chapter 2 and verse 8, I know we're backing up. The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. It goes on and describes where that is. The history or the origin of man tells us that man started right where God told us he started. Isn't that something? Isn't that incredible? All the evolutionary process that they say man went through, and man ended up in the same place that God put him. That's incredible. It's remarkable. And if we'll study the Bible, we'll be able to understand the misconception of those who argue it. In chapter 2 and verse 15, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So God gave man the authority and the dominion of land management, of resource management. It's our job to take care of this planet. Now, I believe in recycling. It irritates me to see people waste something that could be recycled and reused, repurposed. We ought to take care of it. I'm not fanatical, but I just believe if we have the opportunity to do the right thing, we ought to do the right thing. The Bible tells us that it's our responsibility to take care of it, to dress it and to keep it. In chapter 1 and verse 29, I'm about to turn everybody off right here. We're almost finished though. I saved it for last. Chapter 1, verse 29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. God made us to be vegetarians. Isn't that incredible? All the things that the later laws taught, and yes, they did eat meat. I mean, Jesus ate fish. I'm not telling you can't eat meat anymore. But when we look at the body's design and we look at people say, well, how am I going to, you know, if you just go vegetarian, you can cure this and you can fix that. And the reality is God designed us to be vegetarians. Go on to the next verse. We won't read it. But you know that God designed all creatures not to be carnivores, not to eat each other. And that's why when we see these huge teeth that these dinosaurs had, and yes, there were dinosaurs. God made dinosaurs. The birds and animals have gone extinct. You remember what happened to the alligator? We just took the manatees and bears. All these things, they do go extinct. So why is it hard for us to believe that something existed and went extinct? I just don't understand people who say dinosaurs didn't exist, because they did. We have evidence of it. Not all the things they say about dinosaurs are true, and one of those things is they didn't eat each other. They didn't. They were herbivores, vegetarians, just the way God made us. And that's why they had to have those big teeth so they could eat a palm. You ever try to eat a palm tree? I mean, you look at those animals, they didn't, you know, arms are like this right here. They couldn't grab it and tear it apart. They had to be able to rip it apart with their teeth, and that's why God gave them teeth like that. Chapter 2, verse 17, final thing we'll read. Chapters 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know, God gave them only one boundary, only one restriction, and only one consequence. He said, if you do this, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, all they knew up to that point was good. That's it. They didn't know evil. All they knew was good. But the moment that they crossed that line and disobeyed God, they understood the concept of evil. They understood the concept of separation. They understood the concept of death. That's the only rule He gave them. So we look at God's creation, God's design, and we understand that God had a system. He had patterns. He used patterns. Again, the way that the earth rotates around the sun, and we can tell that even though there's a 3.5 million mile difference, we look at the planets on either side of us and we say, if we'd be over there, we'd be too hot. We couldn't survive. If we'd be over there, we'd be too cold. We couldn't survive. If we'd be over there, the atmosphere would be different, and these lungs and this heart and this pulmonary system wouldn't work. God made us for here. He gave us those boundaries. Don't ever be afraid to believe in the absolute biblical account of creation. Amen. We live in a world that they push that evolution stuff at us, but we've looked at it tonight and we see that their theory, while it's wrong, it runs along the same pattern that God gave, because that's the truth. Stand.